This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 22nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news. This week, Amy Guida tells us that sometimes in the legal practice, it pays not having to say you're sorry. We'll also get a forecast for the week ahead from meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, a look at this morning's news. Indiana State Police say a tire failure may have triggered a van crash yesterday that killed five people and injured 11 others, all members of the Amish community. Three children and two adults died when the van went out of control on Interstate 69, about 50 miles northeast of Indianapolis, and flipped over in the median. Those who died were all from the same family from Rockville in Park County. The children were 16, 11, and 1-year-old. Four other children from the Rockville family were among the injured. The families were returning home from a church function near Fort Wayne. Traffic in both directions of Interstate 69 was halted yesterday afternoon as medical helicopters landed at the scene. An early Sunday robbery arrest is getting the attention of a task force of Champaign County police agencies. The Serious Use of Force Task Force is called whenever an officer fires a weapon in the line of duty. A University of Illinois officer did so Sunday morning as a suspect in a robbery was arrested after a car chase. Nobody was injured by the shot. 36-year-old Jack Beasley is accused of robbing a man inside his home in Urbana. County Sheriff's Police apprehended him at a gas station on Lincoln Avenue. The clock is ticking for the Chicago Transit Authority. Only 2 weeks remain before the CTA reaches its doomsday deadline on November 4th. The president of the CTA, Ron Huberman, says he's serious about making service cuts on that date if lawmakers don't come up with additional funding.
If you take a look at the CTA's position, we simply are out of options and don't have a choice. I believe it would be completely unethical and irresponsible to use a doomsday to scare people as a tactic.
The CTA would cut nearly 40 bus routes and increase its fares if the General Assembly doesn't come up with a funding solution. More than 600 employees would also be laid off. Casinos say their business will be hurt when Illinois' smoking ban takes effect this coming January. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, recent action by the General Assembly could lessen that sting slightly.
Director of the Illinois Casino Gaming Association, Tom Swike, says riverboats will take a financial hit next year because of the smoking ban.
Anytime they spend away from the machine or away from the table, reduces the amount of revenue that the casino takes in.
But it could have been worse for the industry. Casinos had to pay an admission tax of about $3 every time someone entered their facility, which would have meant when someone leaves to have a cigarette and then comes back.
Every time they do that, it costs us $3.
Under a new law, casinos will get a break. They'll still have to pay the head tax the first time someone comes through the door, but gamblers can now exit and enter freely, for whatever reason, throughout a day without the boat having to pay the tax each time. The governor had tried to veto the measure, but the legislature overrode the veto. The Department of Revenue estimates it'll mean a loss to the state of between $300,000 and $600,000. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Indiana's crackdown on illegal electronic gaming machines has resulted in the seizure of more than 100 devices in raids in Terre Haute and Lafayette. Gaming police in Indiana seized 88 of those machines during a single raid on Friday at a Terre Haute business called Lectron Incorporated. Agents had spotted an ad for the Cherry Masters machines in a gaming magazine and obtained a search warrant. Larry Rollins, the director of the state's new gaming control division, says the games were being sold for $500 apiece. The gaming police were created under a state law in Indiana that took effect in July. Its primary duty is to investigate illegal gambling. There's a difference of opinion about who should lead the way in encouraging greener government in Illinois. Jenna Dooley has more.
Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn chairs the Green Government's Coordinating Council, which works to incorporate energy-efficient ideas into state government. The legislature passed a measure that permanently keeps the lieutenant governor in that position, but Governor Rob Blagojevich vetoed the plan, saying he should get to decide who directs the council. The legislation sponsor, House Democrat Elaine Nekritz of Northbrook, says the administration told her the governor didn't want to give the lieutenant governor unprecedented authority. Another theory is that Blagojevich was trying to retaliate, as Quinn has publicly spoken out against several of Blagojevich's initiatives this year. Neckritz says it's plausible.
It was not one of the reasons that the governor gave me for why he did this, but I can imagine that in this atmosphere, this very toxic atmosphere in Springfield, that would be very much a possibility.
Blagojevich's office did not return calls for comment. The General Assembly voted to override the governor and keep Quinn in charge. I'm Jenna Dooley.
A cancellation scare might have helped attendance at the 11th annual Morton Pumpkin Chuckin' Contest this weekend. Yesterday's crowd at the Fling and Smash event in central Illinois' Tazewell County was estimated about 4,000 people. Morton's tourism director, Susan Pyle, says that's one of the event's biggest one-day crowds in years. Morton's Chamber of Commerce announced back in July it was canceling the event, citing financial and logistical concerns. A coalition of area business and civic groups, though, picked up the pieces to help save the event. Morton pumps out about 85% of the world's canned pumpkin. It proclaims itself the pumpkin capital of the world. Pumpkin Chunkin' divisions include hand-tossed, gravity propulsion, catapult, and air cannon. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley suggested that this year's Chicago Marathon organizers apologize to runners who said they found no water at water stations. Then he told the Sun-Times that he recognized that legal advice may have something to do with the lack of an apology. He could be right, as Amy Guida explains in this week's Legal Issues in the News.
I read a newspaper column shortly after this year's Chicago Marathon. The gist of it was that those runners who needed medical care on that hot and humid day had no one but themselves to blame. And that's a decent argument legally. There's a doctrine in law known as assumption of the risk. The argument would go that if you run a marathon on a day when most people can't stand to take a step outside, you recognize or should recognize the danger and therefore should take responsibility for your actions. Assumption of the risk means that you've assumed an undertaking knowing of its dangers. The law won't allow those who've assumed the risk to prevail in a lawsuit. But not so fast. Not all judges would agree that assumption of the risk covers every marathon. Now, it's true that much depends on what sort of contract the runner signed and the precise words within that contract and how the law in Illinois would apply to those words and to the particular facts. I'm certainly not saying here that marathon organizers would be liable should a lawsuit be filed. Assumption of the risk is a strong player in these sorts of situations, and it's not the only defense that marathon organizers could raise. What I am saying is that marathon runners don't always lose this sort of race. There's a case from California that seems especially relevant. There, the runner suffered a seizure after a marathon, and his medical team blamed the seizure on inadequate water and electrolyte fluids during the race. Race organizers generally support the runners during a marathon, the man argued, and should have had enough drinks available for everyone. He sued the organizers for negligence. And he won the right to go before a jury over the defendant's arguments that he'd assumed the risk of his troubles. Here's what the court wrote. We hold that a race organizer that stages a marathon has a duty to organize and conduct a reasonably safe event, which requires it to minimize the risks without altering the nature of the sport. Adequate water and sports drinks would be included in that duty, the court held, especially when they're promised. There's another case from Minnesota in which a van rolled over a volunteer's foot at a marathon. There, the court upheld a jury verdict in the plaintiff's favor. It found a jury instruction at issue to be perfectly correct, and that instruction suggested that those who organize a marathon have a duty to exercise reasonable care for those who might be exposed to risk of harm at the event. Now, sure, those facts are different from what some runners have said happened during this year's Chicago Marathon, and there are other cases in which runners and others have lost their lawsuits because the courts found that they'd assumed the risk of their injuries. But what's clear is that not everyone agrees that marathon runners and others associated with a marathon are liable for every injury they suffer during a race. And sometimes those who disagree run in pretty high circles. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Well, the weather is more October-like as we begin this week. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says today in northern and west central Illinois it'll be cloudy with showers arriving. Elsewhere, mostly sunny early, then increasing clouds with scattered showers in the afternoon. Highs will range from 52 in northwest Illinois to 76 in southeast Indiana. Champaign-Urbana's high at around 70. For tonight, mostly cloudy in far northern Illinois with some few showers early. Elsewhere, cloudy with periods of rain throughout the night. Lows from 37 in far northwest Illinois to 55 in the far south, 44 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, in northern Illinois, mostly sunny. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, partly sunny. In central Indiana, cloudy with lingering showers early, then becoming partly sunny. Showers still in the south, highs between 58 and 64. Wednesday's forecast for Champaign-Urbana, sunny again and a high of 63. Clouds return on Thursday with a chance of a few showers in the afternoon and a high of 59. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 22nd. For podcasts from Focus 580, the Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information, you can go to our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.